Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
To see you once more. Let me read three verses from John 10 to you. We're coming near the end of this parable. In fact, I think that our next assembly meeting that I take will bring us to our final study. But let's read three verses, beginning at the verse 3 of chapter 10. Verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Amen. I'm going to emphasize two words today in our study. They're found there in those verses. The first one is follow. The second one really is the opposite, flee. So it's verse 4 and verse 5. Those two words are found. In Israel, and you have heard this, I am sure, many times as you have listened to sermons, and if you haven't heard it many times, you're going to hear it this morning, that in Israel, the shepherd didn't drive the sheep the way they do here, the shepherd following the sheep and a sheepdog, or maybe two, helping him to keep them going. That's how they do it here, but that is not how it's done in Israel. In Israel, the shepherd's out in the front, and the sheep follow him. They follow him. And they follow him because they know him. And they particularly follow the sound of his voice. Isn't that a strange thing? Isn't that a strange thing? That means, you know, if you think about it, that the sheep can get on with a lot of things and still follow the shepherd. They graze, eat away. They don't have to look up to see where the shepherd is. They hear his voice, and they can eat and hear at the same time. And you know, boys and girls, it's a wonderful thing that when you're the Christian, no matter what you're doing, you can hear the voice of the Lord. You can follow the Lord, even though you're engaged in many things. In school, in the classroom, you have a book open before you, a math book, an English book, but you can still hear the voice of the Lord and follow him, obey him. It's a wonderful thing when we think about it. So the sheep know their shepherd by the sound of his voice, and that's very, very important. That underscores, I would say, one of the chief principles in the Bible. In this world, there are many counterfeits, many bluffers. There's hardly a day goes by but I get a call on the telephone from a bluffer, a deceiver, who's looking by some means or other, to rob me. They come on the phone pretending to be from an internet company, a telephone company, a bank company, and they address me by my name as if they know me. Usually they have a very foreign accent, but they give themselves a name that is common in the United Kingdom, even though the chances are their name's Mohammed or Abdul, or something like that. Their name is not what they're claiming, because they're deceivers. They're deceivers. And I usually have the greatest fun telling them. They're deceivers and liars. Which ends the conversation, and they put the phone down, and away they go to try someone else. But that's not the only deception. Every time we handle money, the chances are we're handling that which is not real at all. I have pound coins here, and according to statistics, when you have a handful of pound coins, the chances are that one of them is a counterfeit. It's not real at all. It wasn't issued by the bank. It's a fraud. Maybe some here that I have are frauds, to be quite honest. I wouldn't know whether they are or not. So clever are those who make these false coins. Not only false coins, but false notes. And if you have ever been in the shop with your mum or dad and you have watched them pay over a 5, 10, 20 pound note, You will see the person at the till doing something funny. They take what looks like a pencil or a pen and they rub it on the note. And the inside of that pen has a lot of little gadgets that immediately can detect whether it's a false note or not. Now, I don't know what it does if it finds a false note. Maybe it sounds an alarm or shouts out or whatever, but it can tell the difference. The world is full of frauds. Full of fraud. When we come to the realm of spiritual things, religious things, the frauds are even thicker on the ground. There's far, far more of them. The Savior, and we looked at this some time ago, spoke about the tares among the wheat. Tares, false wheat, and religiously facing you and me are those that are deceivers. And they're only anxious about one thing, and that is getting us off the true path, the right path, and onto a wrong path. Getting us to believe that which is a lie and forsaking that which is the truth. So, how do we know? How do we know what is right and what it is we should follow? Well, you do like the sheep. What do? They know my voice, the Lord Jesus. The sheep decided upon whom it was they had to follow by the sound of his voice. Not by his appearance or anything else about him, but by the sound of his voice. And in like fashion, that's what you and I have to do. Where do we find the voice of the Lord? How can we hear the voice of the Lord? There it is. The Bible is the Word of God. Here is a record of all that God would have us listen to. Outside of this book, God doesn't want you to listen to anything. All he wants you to listen to is in this book. If it's not in this book, it's not the voice of the Lord. You be sure about that. Let me read to you a key verse. And it's one that I have come back to time and time and time and time again. You older ones, look it up. Isaiah chapter 8 and the verse 20. Now this is a key verse. It's what we would call a foundational verse. There's a lot built on it. There's a lot rests upon it. Listen to what it says. To the law and to the testimony. Now, you know what that is. That phrase refers to the Word of God. Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So a person who comes preaching, but what they're saying is not according to this book, they have no light. They're deceivers. They're false. They're false. And you're to reject them. You're to reject them. And that's very important for us to learn. And that's not just something which was set forth in the Old Testament, but it's carried over into the New Testament as well. Would you turn to Galatians and the chapter 1? Galatians chapter 1. And Paul, if I might just remind you, the reason for this book, this Galatians epistle, is because there were men who had come to the churches at Galatia with lies. They had come preaching that which wasn't according to the Word of God. And Paul was challenging that. And he was telling the sheep, you're listening to a false shepherd. What you're listening to is not in accordance with the Word of God. And listen to what he says in the verses 8 and 9 of the first chapter. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, there's a number of things there we should really take note of. The first is that if an angel were to come amongst us now, we'd be most impressed. In fact, we cannot really grasp just how much we would be impressed, because angels are glorious creatures. Glorious creatures. And you find in the Bible great men forgetting themselves and bowing down, almost ready to worship the angel. John did it. You read it in the book of the Revelation. And the angel said, No, I'm just like yourself. I'm just a servant of God. Don't you be giving homage to me. That belongs to the Lord alone. So, angels are glorious creatures beyond our imagination. And if they were to come amongst us, there would be very few who would challenge what they say if what they said was not in accordance with the Bible. But we would have to challenge them. Paul says, even if an angel comes and preaches another gospel, don't you listen to them. Boys and girls, I can't emphasize enough. That little book you hold in your hand is the authority of God by which you judge all things. All things. The actions of men, the beliefs of men. You can look at the Bible and you can decide from it whether their actions or their words are right or wrong. And if they're wrong, you say you're wrong. And I reject what it is you're saying on the authority of this book. There's something else you should notice in Galatians. And that is, Paul says, any who preach anything other than the gospel, they are to be accursed. That is, they're brought under the judgment and curse of God and sent out into a dark eternity. There's an awful penalty for preaching another gospel, even as there's an awful penalty for believing another gospel. If you believe the lie, it'll bring you to hell. Do you hear me? If you reject the gospel, it'll bring you to hell. And when you reject the gospel, you're believing a lie. You're rejecting the gospel because someone or something has told you the gospel's not right. And you believe that. And it will bring you to hell. So this is an important issue. If another gospel's preached, Paul says, let the person who preaches it, even if it's an angel, be accursed. Be accursed. And there's one other thing I want you to know. He says it twice. He repeats himself. He says, I say again. And he says again because he wants the people in Galatia to get a hold of this. When you repeat yourself, you're laying a great emphasis upon what it is you're saying. So, Paul is saying here, we must judge what we hear, even if it's an angel who's speaking, by the word of God. You're to judge what is the gospel and what is not the gospel by the record given us in the Bible of the gospel. And if it's not according to the word of God, you reject it. Just go back one book to 2 Corinthians and the chapter 11. That's only a couple of pages, I'm sure, in your Bible. And again, Paul's battling this issue of falsehood and counterfeit, because that was a big issue among God's people back then. It's been a big issue among God's people since the dawn of time. Do you remember Cain? Cain came to worship the Lord, and he came the wrong way. He brought an offering that was a fruit of the ground, and God rejected it. You see, Cain was walking on the wrong way. He was listening to a wrong message. He had rejected the truth of God, which demanded a lamb as a symbol of faith and confidence in the coming Messiah, who was the Lamb of God. And when in the Old Testament they brought a lamb, what they were saying is, Lord, this lamb pictures the one whom I'm trusting in. But Cain, he brought the fruit of the ground, his own labors. And he was saying, here's what I'm trusting in. My own works. He'd listened to a lie. He was on the wrong path. Cain is in hell today. Just you think on this. Cain is in hell today because he believed a lie. So fighting the devil's counterfeit has been something God's servants have been engaged in since those earliest days. And here's Paul engaged in the same thing in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, the verse 13. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." And no marvel. It's not a strange thing that they should do this. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. If you work a lie, consequences are that you will go to the place where all liars go, the lake of fire. That's what the book of Revelation tells us. The book of Revelation tells us, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire forever. And Paul says, here are the devil's agents coming and pretending to be God's servants. And Paul says, I'm writing to you to warn you of this deception. No, the sheep follow the voice of the Lord. That's all. It's not in the Bible. We don't believe it. We don't believe it. There are those who mock the Christian who believes the Bible. I like the story I heard long ago of a scoffing minister. One of those Paul's talking about. One of the devil's agents pretending to be a minister. And he said to an old Christian lady, "Surely you don't believe everything you read in the Bible. You don't believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, do you?" The old lady says, "Yes, I do." "And if God had said in the Bible Jonah had swallowed the whale, I would have believed it." Boys and girls, whatever's in the Bible, we believe, we follow, and we make sure we don't have anything to do with those who don't believe the Bible. I want you to learn that, and I want you never to forget. Let's have in prayer. Bless your word, Lord, to the boys and girls today. O God, we have set forth before them a lesson that if they listen to it, they'll go to heaven. If they believe the Bible, they'll go to heaven. If they believe the Bible, they'll embrace the Lord Jesus. They'll put their trust in him and they'll go to heaven. But Lord, if they don't listen to what we've said and are deceived by the devil into rejecting the gospel, then heaven they will never, never see. Lord, write your word on their hearts. We commit the school, its teachers, and all its affairs into thy hands. Answer prayer, we ask of thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen.